Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Paranormal Roundtable. This is your host, Josh Turner, also known as Wolf. We call Paranormal Roundtable PRT. We consider ourselves a family, and everybody just calls ourselves the PRT family. And we have a show. And what we do is we drop a show every Friday, and then we do a live stream on YouTube, only a YouTube exclusive on Tuesdays. We do have many groups on Facebook. We'd like you to join if you're interested. Paranormal Roundtable is the main group, and then of course Paranormal Encounters is Tony's group, which is, we call him Mushu. Former co-host, may co-host again at some point, but right now he's just really working and doing what he's doing. He runs Paranormal Encounters. My wife, Nellie, she runs Paranormal Lounge, and we have A Whisper to a Scream, which is Ryan Tremblay's group, but it's affiliated with us. We also have a Josh Turner fan page that has a group that was made by a couple of fans of ours. And then we have the Josh Wolf Turner fan page group, which is the official fan page, which is connected to the Paranormal Roundtable fan page. And so we have all these different groups and pages on Facebook. So go and join those. I think that's all of them, right? Did I miss anything? And so we have all those going. We just hit 6,000 not too long ago for the Paranormal Roundtable group, and that's awesome. And we're headed toward 15,000 subscribers on YouTube for our Paranormal Roundtable group. And we also would like to announce that we are on several different platforms, and as we have been for a long time, but we're also starting to gain a lot of traction on those other platforms. So if you are listening to us, in particular on Spotify, make sure that you download or whatever it is that you got to do, and make sure that you like and subscribe on Facebook, on YouTube, and like and subscribe to our groups on Facebook. So we have all that going, and we have prtpodcast.com, which is the website. Then we have PRT, Josh Turner, prtpodcast.com, which is my email address. And so we have all that, and we just wanted to have to get all that out of the way before we go forward. I have a guest tonight that's going to talk about some things. She's been on the show before, and I'm about to introduce her. And I think that's it. I don't think there's anything else that we need to discuss. We have an art contest that goes on every month, the Willie Williams Art Contest. Don't forget about that. I don't think that's it. That's pretty much all. Join us on Tuesdays for the live stream Q&A. And without further ado, let me introduce you to Brenda.
Hello.
Brenda, you've been on the show before.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and that was episode 22 and 23. Now, your last name has changed since,
yeah, it has.
Since then. You were Brenda Tice.
Yes.
Yeah, and you were with Luke Tice. And y'all came on the show together as husband and wife. And it was episode 22 and episode 23. And that, it seems like a long time ago. It was over 100 episodes ago. And you guys talked about some things that had gone on. It was a very interesting shows that y'all did with me. There are two episodes. There were really just one for us. It was just one show, but it ended up in the two episodes. Yeah. But it was a very interesting show you did with us. And you talked about some spirit things that had happened to you spiritually, but you also talked about Dogman. And so recently, you know, we've been in touch, and I believe you were going to be on a show on the Travel Channel.
But, yes, I was. Yes.
Yeah, and then it fell through that you ended up not being able to make it or something. I don't know the whole story.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make it. I had some stuff come up. So, but yeah. I did talk to Michael, and everything was good with that.
Yeah, and so you were going to be on that show because you had a very interesting story. Now, subsequently, you have had like more stuff come down. Now you don't want to give out the location of the ranch of where you're at this time, where you're at this time. So we're just going to say that it's somewhere in Central Texas. So that's, we're just going to leave it at that. It's in Central Texas. The area, okay, where you are, I can tell you this. I know that area has had quite a bit of Sasquatch activity over the last few years, just in that little corridor between the two towns. where you're located. I'm not going to give it away.
Yeah, there have been a lot of reports and stuff, and I've had family and everything else that have told me some things that have happened to them, and they're like, "You're not going to believe me," but I'm like, "Oh, yes, I do." So
yeah, over the years, that area, like, I had not heard a whole lot about Dogman, but of course, that area, though, back when I would hear stories of Sasquatch, people didn't know what Dogman was.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of that might have been people seeing a Sasquatch that they thought was a Bigfoot, but it could have actually been a Dogman, because they misidentify eat them both all the time.
Yeah, because I had no idea what a Dogman was until maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah, and I've had people tell me, "Well, I saw this Sasquatch looking creature, but it had a snout," and I'm like, "Okay, that's not a Sasquatch," you know. And then I've had people tell me that they saw, you know, "Oh, I saw this dog man, but it didn't have a snout." And I'm like, "Well, that's not a dog man." But you are initiated, like, you know which one is which, and you know what they are. Okay, yeah, and so you work in this particular town, and then you drive back out to your ranch every night?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And I know where that's at, where you work at, because I've driven through there many, many times. And that area around there, there's a lot of wilderness out there. A lot of wilderness. You know, there's a lot of areas out there, a lot of hunting. There's a state park or something not far, you know, but it's in that general area. But where you live, you've had some activity that has been reoccurring, and you've reached out to me multiple times, and I've just been very busy, and we keep saying, "Hey, we're going to record." Now we finally hear a recording, and it is in the wee hours of the morning, because this is when you were up and when I'm up. So we have talked about this. Now it's up to you. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with what happened to you from the prior episode, or do you want to and kind of give a brief overview of what was going on, and then, or how do you want to do this?
I mean, that's fine. I'll just give like a brief overview of it. I, like you said, I'm basically initiated. I know what they are. I know what the different types of them are. I had no idea, like I said, until a few years ago, and I had countless things happen to me as a child and then as growing up. And I think it was my ex-husband that had reached out to you or something, and then we did the show with you, and I did a lot of research and stuff and finally figured out just exactly what was going on. But besides all of that, it didn't happen for a while. I didn't have any encounters for like a couple of years, maybe. And then last summer, right before my birthday, is when I saw a dog man again, and it scared the living daylights out of me.
And when was that?
That was, I can't tell you the exact day, but it was the end of May. I know, I was up. I think it was during the week, I remember, because everyone had to be at work the next morning, so we all went to bed early. But I was up at, like, it's always around the same time, between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. I went outside to smoke a cigarette, and it just commenced from there.
So you saw a dog man, and give me the 411. What was going on? What happened? How?
Oh. Okay, so like I said, I went outside to smoke a cigarette about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. For some reason, I couldn't sleep, and I have no idea why. But I went outside, and I was sitting on my front porch, and I had just lit my cigarette, and I had my puppy with me. And we also have a dog on the ranch that legit, you know, he barks at everything. And all of a sudden, I heard something like coming down the alleyway between the house that I was in and the stables, which are like right next door, but there's an alley, like a dirt road alley between it. And I heard something coming down the alley, and I really didn't pay attention to it, because usually it could have been, you know, well, first off, in my mind, I thought it was like a horse or a cow, but then it clicked, and I was like, hold on a second, you know, all the gates are closed, and there shouldn't be one, you know, even in this vicinity right here, right now. So I sat there, and then I saw it like out of my, like the right side of my eye. And when I turned to look, it was this huge black mass, and it was right on the edge of the porch light. And it walked very slow. It was bipedal. It was on two feet. I could tell the way it was dragging its feet and the way it was walking and everything. And then I immediately looked over to my left at the dog, and he did not make a single noise. He sat up, his ears went up, and he watched it cross like the huge driveway that's there. And it was kind of weird because when it crossed the driveway, where it went, there was a fence and a gate, and it made no noise, and it was just gone. Like, it just disappeared.
Wow. So, and this is the only, is this the only time, any only encounter you've had at that particular vicinity?
Well, the ranch is kind of big, but it's at that particular location on the ranch. Yes, that spot is, but I have had a few other ones. One actually was just recent, and it was probably about a week and a half ago, and it was a lot more terrifying and a lot more, you know,
involved
within distance. Yeah. Like right there. And I don't know. It was crazy. But that one, I was told that there was nothing on the ranch, that there was nothing to be worried about, you know, because I would ask questions being that far out in the country. I was curious, and they'd be like, oh, no, you know, we haven't seen anything. Nothing's been seen here. And then come to find out, you know, things had been seen and heard, and everyone just didn't say anything about it. So
they didn't want to scare you. They didn't want you to be like, oh, man. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know, but you know, once I told him that I had saw that, it was so funny because my boyfriend's mom was like, "Well, it could have been a big raccoon." I was like, "No, ma'am. This was not a raccoon." So, once they heard that, you know, I started hearing they would talk about other things that they'd seen and that they'd heard, and then once I explained to him, I said, "You know, look, I'm not scared. Well, to a point I am, but I'm not scared of this kind of stuff. I've dealt with it my entire life." So once, you know, they found that out, they were okay. And they quite openly talked about things from there on out.
Tends to be the case. Like whenever like even when you see stuff, they'll just kind of play it off. But then once you tell them, look, I know what this is, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
Then they tend to open up a little bit. I'm going to tell you something. There is a rest stop on that highway, not far from the town that you work at. And I'm not giving away the location or anything, because like you said, you don't want anybody knowing. But that rest stop, I actually did. It is one, like I said, most of the stuff I've gotten is Bigfoot in that area, in that little corridor right there. But there was a guy who told me a story about being messed with at a rest stop right there. And I don't know if you know which rest stop I'm talking about, but there's like a...
I do.
And so he told me that he went to sleep there one night and he woke up. He had his windows down. He goes, it was like, just like it was late spring, you know? And he said that it was cool. The night was cool, but it was several years ago, I guess Nat would be when he told me this. And he said that he woke up to hearing like a grunting, growling, and something was messing with the trash. And at first he thought that it was like a raccoon, but then when he got up and he looked and he thought maybe it was making so much noise, he thought maybe it was a family of raccoons. And when he looked, he saw this big, oversized wolf-looking creature. And when he spotlighted it, it turned, and when it looked at him, it had like red eyes. And he was like, oh my gosh. So he was sleeping. He was sitting there with his windows down in like a Toyota Corolla or Toyota, you know, like a little, I don't remember if it was a Camry or what, but it was a small car. Like, I believe it was a Toyota of some kind. And I was like, are you kidding me? So he turned his vehicle on and rolled the windows up and drove. And he said he drove right past it and it just kept chewing on whatever it was chewing on. And it just looked at him and watched him drive off. Now, he never saw it stand up on two legs, but he said that it was really elongated. And he said that, you know, if I had to put a guess, I would say that I had an encounter with the dogman. And so he always believed that. He said that it looked real mangy, not mangy, but like rangy, kind of thin.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he said that it looked absolutely terrifying. Like its eyes were just red dots. And he asked me if I thought that that indicated something evil. And I was like, probably. I mean, exactly. You know, because in nature, you don't really, I mean, you know, I know that when people take pictures, you know, back, especially when we were young, you'd get the red eyes, you know, and you look like a demon or something, but not just shining the lights on something and it turns and its eyes are just completely red, like glowing embers, because But anyways, I just thought that would be a horrific thing. What's even more unsettling about that was I was traveling through there at one point, and I actually got really tired and went to sleep at that spot. But I wasn't.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, but I wasn't alone, and so I was just really tired. I was coming back from the big city, you know, and I was like, I'm tired. I got to stop, and so I did. And I had like a bite to eat, and then I just went. But I had somebody that was in the back seat asleep. And so I just decided to go ahead and kick back and take a little nap. And I did. I was, I think I was like in my late teens or something, you know, and I should have thought, man, I probably shouldn't, you know.
Didn't see anything?
No, didn't see nothing. I did pull into that same spot one time with my wife, you know, just a couple years ago. And I just was coming back from visiting somebody. And we stopped and we saw like this stray dog running around. But that was it. You know, we didn't, and we tried to call it, but it was a cute little dog, but it wouldn't come to us. So, Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I know that when that guy told me that story, I knew exactly where he was at, what he was talking about.
So, yeah, I know where it's at.
It's a creepy spot. And then you go down further, there's like a creek, you know, there's like a little walkway or what, like, I guess like a little path or something. I was like, I'm not going down. Those woods are thick down in there.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah. So where you were at, okay, where you live now, you had that incident, and now your current, boyfriend, you know.
Yeah, whatever. My boyfriend.
So he's had things happen too? Like his family said, oh, yeah, we've had some stuff happen here?
Oh, yeah. He's, when I first, like the very first time I ever went to the ranch, he was telling me stories like about lights and things that he's seen, and I was like, oh, you know, I don't believe you, and I should have known better than to say that, because if there's what I've seen out here, there's other things, obviously. So, you know, I would always just brush it off and things like that. And we saw lights. We've seen lights on several occasions. We've heard extremely weird noises. We've seen shadowy figures. He said that he could be sitting outside and like look up, and there's this one spot where this light would always be there, and then he would go inside or he would walk off or something and come back and it was gone, and then it would just reappear again. And I actually, me and his mom both witnessed that one night with him. We were sitting on the porch and he was like, hey, there's that light. And we look up and there's the light, and then, you know, we start talking and look back up there like 10 minutes later and it's gone, and then it just reappears later on in the afternoon. So I would always throw it off as being a star or a plane or something like that. And it got to the point where we would see several different things. And I finally had to acknowledge, hey, this is not a plane. Planes don't do this. They don't move this way.
I got two questions for you. First question. Okay. Why would you tell him that you didn't believe him?
Well, The first time, you know, that I actually tried to talk to him about something like this, he, you know, the big macho man thing, he's like, well, I've been in and out of those woods and I haven't seen anything. And I've been out there 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, sometimes I just think people are making stuff up, you know, just for attention. And I was like, okay, I'm going to stop you right there. So that really, I put it off for a while because I didn't want him to think that I was crazy. I didn't want to sound crazy just starting out a new relationship with someone. You know, you really don't want to tell them that you're seeing big black dogs walk around. So I mean, that's understandable. But
so when he told you what he saw, you just said, oh, I don't believe you.
Well, I mean, I didn't tell him I didn't believe him, you know, not at first. I didn't tell him at all I didn't believe him. I just told him that it was kind of hard to believe that, you know, you're driving down the street to come, you know, to go through the gate onto the ranch, and you look in your rearview mirror and your other mirrors, you can even turn around and look behind you, and there's no lights in the sky. And then all of a sudden, when you go like right around the corner, there's this light that's right there that was not there 2 seconds ago. So I told him, you know, maybe he was just, I thought he was exaggerating, and Come to find out, he wasn't. I really honestly, I did believe him, but I didn't want to scare the crap out of myself because most of the time at night, in the evenings, I was at home alone and he was at work. So.
So then let me ask you this, Brenda. Now, okay. This is the second question I was going to ask. What did these lights look like? How high up off the ground were they? Where were they located?
Right above the tree line. You could actually, you know, sit there and stare at them, and they would move, like hover left to right, or they would go up higher, or they would go down. They looked like literally like a ball of fire, and they were, some of them were yellow, two of them were red, and then the rest of them have been just like regular white lights. But I started paying closer attention, like really close attention, when we were setting outside around midnight. We were going to watch the meteor shower that was going to go over us. And we kept looking over to where the light was, and it was still there, but it started to move. Like we physically watched it move and then go back to the same spot that it was at. And I was like, okay, you know, planes don't move like that. They don't hover like that. They don't back up and then go forward. That just doesn't happen. And there's no noise. There's absolutely no noise. No, plane noises, and then sometimes the crickets and the frogs, they stop, so it's completely silent outside. So
you guys were seeing these lights. Now, you said they were different colors.
Yes.
And but they weren't, you wouldn't describe them as UFO type, like spacecraft or anything like that.
No, like it didn't look anything like that. It was I don't know. Not what a typical UFO would look like. Everyone knows what that looks like. But no, it was just a ball of light. And it was just, after a while, it got to be really freaky because sometimes I'd be by myself outside.
How high up off the ground?
Like right above the tree line.
Tree line.
You know, and trees are like maybe 30 or 40 feet high.
Yeah, I know what the trees look like out there. I mean, yeah. But I needed to make sure I get a visual image for the people at home listening. So these things, and how big were these balls of light? Like the size of a person, two people, like how big?
They had to be quite
large.
Like quite large in size, because around like where our house is, there's a big tank in front of our, to the left of our house. And then there's like an open field. So at the edge of the tree line, it's probably got to be maybe 200 or 300 yards. And then there's the tree line and you look up and there's this light that's there. So it wasn't small.
And let me just explain people at home listening. See, people at home, if you're from Texas, you already know this. I'm not talking to you, but everybody who's not from Texas or who has not visited here. Okay. Just so you understand, when she says a tank, she means a literal tank. Like we have tanks that we keep in our front yard, you know, because we're gun crazy here. So she had a tank, literally a Sherman tank from World War II, and they would use it to shoot at these creatures when they would come onto the property.
Josh. No, I'm sorry. Like a tank or as people.
Oh, you're not talking about a tank. Oh, okay. Because we have a tank. I was like, we have tanks. I thought everybody had a tank in the yard. You're the only one that doesn't have
it. Come on.
It's Texas. No, it's like, Texas. Come on.
Like an actual fishing pond, you know.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I was going to say, I was like, she has a bazooka. She has a tank. Obviously, you're a Texan. You have these things and you have cowboy boots and a lasso.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Anyway, I'm messing with folks. We do have cowboy boots and lassos. But yeah. So anyways, you have a tank. Like it's a water is what it is. I always try to tell people.
A big body of water.
Body of water. It's like a pond. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's another thing too. If you have those on your property, if you're going to see them, like I know that I did one story.
We've had five.
Yeah. That's where you'll find them.
Five tanks. Yeah. Five tanks.
Mm-hmm. Cause they're for the cows.
Yes.
Yeah. And when you have fish, you stock pond, you could stock them, you know? And And so there was a place down in South Texas that I just got a story about not too long ago. And this guy that he had 30 of them. 30 of them down in his property, and he was having all kinds of activity going on. I said, well, yeah, because you have 30 tanks of water that you're stocking with fish, so they're going in there, they're eating the fish, and they're drinking up the water. And he's like, well, how do I get rid of them? I'm like, I don't know. Get rid of your tanks. Stop having fish in them. I can't give you any more advice than that. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be rude. I was trying to be rude to the guy. And if you're listening at home, you know, he's very, very nice guy. He asked me that question off of, you know, he sent me a message and I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, but that's very common to see them. My cousins, I guess it would be my cousin's cousin who had a tank and he had some people, you know, who went out there to go do some hunting and right there near the tank, they saw one of these creatures. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much par for the course. Yeah. Central Texas has a lot of sightings of these creatures. I mean, if you came down here to visit, don't go, oh yeah, I'm expecting to see a dog manager, I'm going to Central Texas. But if you're out at night in the woods in Central Texas, you might. I mean, you probably got a, you know, a good shot. I mean, if you're going to see it.
Yeah, you've got to be really careful.
Yeah, they're roaming around. I don't know what the deal is with that, but there is definitely Sasquatch and Dogman activity down here. So
I think it might be the abundance of all the cattle.
Maybe. I think has a lot to do with it. There's cows everywhere and there's hogs everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
There's so many deer, okay? Like if you're in Austin, right? You literally, like, the complex, apartment complexes, my guards that do patrol, they run into deer. Like, you have to keep from hitting the deer, and they're in the complexes.
Oh, yeah. My aunt, she's from Cedar Park.
And oh, yeah. Oh, God. They're everywhere in Cedar Park. Yeah.
Like, right in the middle of town. You know, it's crazy. You see deer crossing the road.
Yeah. They'll just walk right out, and just right out in front of the freaking, you know, whatever. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and, like, people come from other states, and they're like, we have deer, but not like y'all. I mean, you know, we have so much game out here, wild turkeys, you have deer. I mean, you know, there's quail, there's every type of game animal you can imagine out here. And there's different types of deer, blacktail, whitetail, mule deer. I mean, they're everywhere. And so you could throw a rock and hit a deer. I mean, it's like there's no shortage of animals out here. And the wild hogs are just out of control. And then everybody owns cattle. I mean, folks, it's not an exaggeration when they say, oh, people in Texas are cattle. This is a cattle state.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cattlemen's Association is very powerful. They're strong here, you know. And so, you know, there's cows everywhere. I mean, so, you know, people have ponds and a lot of people. It's very rural in a lot of areas. I know where you're at. It's a lot of just open rural area. And so they have a lot of people have stock ponds and they have tanks for the cattle to drink. Those are hot spots for these creatures because that's, you know, there's water. I mean, you know, it's just, and there's creeks everywhere and there's rivers all over the freaking place. Lots of water here. So it's a paradise, a haven for these cryptids. And so anyways, back to what you were saying, you had an encounter you were seeing these balls of light. And so your boyfriend, do you told him about the dog man?
Oh yeah, he already knows. I've explained to him in great detail. I've went over all of my encounters and stuff with him. And at first, he was the same way I was about the balls of light and stuff. He was very skeptical. He did not believe me. He was like, oh, "Okay, well, I haven't seen it, so I don't believe it's out there." And he slowly started to believe me when things started happening on the ranch. Like, I don't know if most people know what an empath is. It's not a medium. It's not a psychic or anything like that, but you can feel things like feelings and emotions that are projected off of another being that's around you. And that happens to me quite a lot. So when I'm just walking by myself on the ranch, or if I'm at home at night by myself, or even like the other night, I was sitting on the couch watching TV with Nathan. All of a sudden I could feel it in the vicinity around the house. And then we started hearing things, and the light, the motion sensor outside, that light started going off, and that light is quite a few feet up off the ground. So you have to walk like, or pass right next to it for it to go off. So whatever it was had to have been at least 9 to 10 feet tall.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's rare. I mean, now if it is now, not necessarily for Sasquatch, but yeah, for a dogman, that's rare.
Yeah. They're not that tall.
Not usually 7-8 feet. Typically, you know, that's the story I get. I don't usually get them that big. I mean, I have stories from other states, but here, not so much. Let me ask
I've never seen one that big.
No. And so he saw it?
No, but he has seen, he says that he hasn't saw it, but he's told me that he's seen shadows and stuff like that, like at night through the trees and through, you know, on the property and things like that. I think that he has, but he just doesn't want to admit to me that he has. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause several times he's been outside, he'll go outside to smoke a cigarette or he'll take our dog out. I still have Leona. He'll take her out and he'll abruptly come back in the house very quickly. And I'm like, you know, what's wrong, babe? What's going on? Oh, nothing, nothing. And then he'll like look out the window or out the glass that's on the door. And I know exactly what it is because I can feel it. I know what's out there. And I think that he just doesn't want to admit that he's seen it. So.
And so you think that he's actually seeing these creatures, but he's not admitting it.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that he has. He won't admit it because for what reasons, I have no idea. But I'm pretty sure if everyone else, including, you know, family that's there has seen it, he can't be the only person that hasn't on the property.
And that was the question I was going to ask. Anybody else in the household seen him besides you?
Well, as far as I know, I don't know the exact stories, but as far as I know, they have. He hasn't gone into detail with me about it, but he's told me that he's heard some crazy stuff that's been seen and some weird looking creatures that have been seen. And then I'll ask him questions and he's like, yeah, I don't want to talk about it. And I'm like, okay.
That's a lot of people because, you know, there's a lot of people that just feel like if you talk about it, then something's going to happen, you know, it's going to make something happen, you know? I don't subscribe to that personally because I believe this, if you dwell on it, then yeah, you can manifest things, but just talking about something that's happened, I don't think it's necessarily like going to call it up or conjure it up.
No.
But, yeah, it isn't good to dwell on anything that's negative. But when the shadows that he saw in between the tree line, has he told you like anything, like what they could be, like what he thinks that, I mean, it's anything at all.
No, when he's seen something like that, he usually comes to me and asks me, and there for a little while, he thought it was kind of like a little game. Like he would come and ask me, hey, do you feel anything? Or, hey, you know, I saw something outside. What do you feel? How do you feel? How's it making you feel? And after a while, you know, it stopped being a little game to him and he started taking it seriously. And he like I said, he never told me if he saw anything. All that he saw were shadows, and that's it.
So he would come to you and be like, Brenda, by a round of applause, what have you seen?
Yeah, exactly. basically.
Two, you know, two claps for Bigfoot, three claps for Dogman, one for Ghost. Okay.
Yeah, no.
But okay, so this is going to sound kind of funny, but like, I mean, have you seen anything else? I mean, like, is there anything else like other than Bigfoot? Have you seen any other like spiritual type entities that you think this could be something spiritual, or was there any like anything else?
The feeling that I started getting, it was probably maybe 3 weeks ago. And I had talked to my cousin about this, and my cousin, he doesn't live there, but I was talking to my cousin about it and he had come and visited me. He was only there for a couple of hours, but he got the feeling that, and I don't like saying what it is because it really does. It really bothers me. He got the feeling that there was something there that was very bad, and it is spiritual, but it can manifest itself into a physical form. And he said that that's the feeling that he got, which is actually identical to the feeling that I would get sometimes. And it would only be at night when I got this feeling, and I would feel immediately, I would feel like animosity and anger and just not good, not good at all.
And so this is at the house itself, not the ranch.
Yeah. Yeah, this is on. Well, no, it's not the house. I honestly think it's something to do with the land. You know, maybe Indians could have lived there a long time ago. I don't know. It's something to do with the land, but the house, the man that owns it, he built the house himself. So I know nothing bad has happened there. It's just, it's a weird, eerie feeling around a couple of areas, two certain areas on the ranch. And it makes me like nauseous. It makes me sick to my stomach sometimes.
To be in those areas.
Yeah. Yeah. To be in those areas. It just, I get really sick to my stomach and I get lightheaded, and it's like, it's drawing my energy into itself to manifest or something. I mean, I've been told that before, 'cause I've talked to a few, different people about it before, but they said that that's what it's doing is, and Nathan, he does the same thing. Like every once in a while he'll start feeling nauseous or sick to his stomach. And I'm like, what's wrong? And he's like, oh, I'm not feeling good in my stomach right now. And then we would hear something outside, or then we would see a shadow or a light or something. And I talked to like different people that I've talked to. They said that that's what it's really doing, is taking your energy to manifest, to basically scare the out of you. So
he's had his own encounters that you, yeah. I mean, that you believe, and he's not forthcoming about it. He's not talking about it. Okay. No. All right. But he grew up there?
No, he's lived there. He's probably lived there for about 20 years.
Okay. All right. So he's lived there for 20 years, and how old is he now?
He'll be 33 this year. Yeah. I'm 30. I'll be 35. Yeah. He'll be 33 this year.
Okay. So like, so he moved there as a young teenager, as a kid.
Yes. Yeah. I know that he did move there as a teenager. So. Okay.
And his mom and his dad are both still alive?
Yes, they both are. His dad lives out of town, but his mom lives there.
Okay.
And I've asked her about things like that, if she's seen anything or, you know, shadows or anything like that. And she doesn't say that she hasn't and doesn't say that she has. She just says that she's not worried about that kind of stuff because, you know, we are Christian. We are saved. We, you know, we do believe in God and all that. And that's what she says. She says, if I ever get a weird feeling or anything, I either grab my Bible or I start praying. And I'm like, you know, I do the same thing, obviously, but she won't go into detail about it with me. That right there, she won't do.
She won't talk about it.
No.
What about his dad?
Well, he lives out of town. It's not his dad that owns the property.
But has he been out there? Did he live there? Did he grow up there?
No, he never lived there. His dad never lived there. I don't know if his dad's ever been there. I'm not for sure.
Okay, yeah, because I was trying to figure out who else lives there?
Right. I'm trying to think. Different people have lived there. I mean, it just depends. Like, he's had cousins that live there. He's had siblings that live there. Sorry, I'm sitting on my back porch. I'm just being very aware of my surroundings. And he's had friends that have lived there. So, I mean, it's just different people that have seen different things. I don't know the extent to what people have seen, but I know that only one other person has seen something like I have. So...
Okay. So, yeah. So I guess that's what I was trying to get at. So you now moving forward, like you said, you had one encounter that was what you said, like a year ago.
Yes. That was last summer. I had that one encounter, but I don't know if it even knew that I was sitting there. More than likely it did, because these things are intelligent. So I think it knew that I was sitting there. It just was not worried about me. It was going off to do something else. And then recently is I've seen two recently, the same one just twice. And I honestly didn't know what to do. Like, it's been such a long time that I just sat there. I didn't move. I didn't freak out. I didn't jump up and scream and be like, oh my God, there's something. I just very calmly put my cigarette out, very calmly acted like I was done, and I went in the house.
And so, and recently though, you said you had another encounter. This is the second and only other encounter you've had on the property of these things.
It's the third one.
Third one. Okay. Okay. So that one you just talked about, that was the first one.
Yes.
Okay. Now let's get into the second one.
Okay. The second one, it was we were staying in one of the cabins that's down by the main tank that's fished out of. And the second one, that one was probably maybe about 3 months ago. And it was in the middle of the night. Like I said, it always happens around the same time, between 3 and 4, sometimes between 12 and 3. But this time it was between the same time, 3 and 4. And the only thing that I noticed that was predominant was all of the bugs and the frogs and everything stopped. And my dog was in the house. I did not have her outside with me. And the cabin is like right there on the water. I mean, you walk up the dock and you look down and the water, it's right there. Well, across the tank, the pond, okay, across the pond, there was something that was in the water. Like it was at the edge of the water and it wasn't small. It was maybe probably like 150 yards from me. And it was, you know, just mewling about in the water and stuff like that. And I went to stand up. And when I did, I dropped my lighter. And when I dropped my lighter, it like looked up at me. And it kind of had like amber colored eyes. So I already knew what it was. Before I even saw its eyes, I knew what it was. So I immediately went in the house and locked the doors. And you could hear stuff outside the rest of the night. You could hear something walking around in the yard. You could hear, I've even heard scratches on the side of the house before. And so of course I knew what was out there. I made sure all the doors were locked, but like, that's going to stop it anyways. And the only thing I could do that I knew of that would actually work is I grabbed my Bible. So.
And you got, you saw it by yourself. Like he was, your boyfriend was in the cabin.
Yeah, he was asleep. Okay. He was asleep. I saw it by myself.
And when you saw it, and you said you knew exactly what it was when you saw it.
Oh yeah, I knew exactly what it was. Before it even lifted up its head, I knew what it was, because the feeling that I got from it is the same feeling that I got from a couple of childhood encounters. And then, you know, one when I was a teenager, and then when me and my ex-husband had done the interview with you guys, the one that was recent, like the most recent one, I got that feeling when I actually saw its head come out of the bushes. That's the feeling that I got. And that was probably maybe about 20 feet from me when that one happened. So.
And you were positive that it was a dog man.
Oh yeah. No, it was that. Yes, it was.
What did it look like?
It wasn't scrawny. I'm going to say that it wasn't scrawny. There wasn't a full moon, but there was a moon out, and it's, you know, the light reflects off the water. You can see pretty good there, and there's not trees shrouding it or anything like that, but it was shaped like a big wolf as it was setting down, and you could just, you know, make out the outline. You could tell that it was kind of husky a little bit. It wasn't skinny. It had a tail. I will tell you that it did. It had a tail. I could see its ears. Like they were predominantly pointy ears. I saw that. So I was like, okay, you know, and it was like using its front, I don't know what you want to call it, hand, paw, whatever, to dig in the edge of the water. Like you could hear it like digging in the water. So like the dirt that's right there. And then when I went to stand up to go inside, I dropped my lighter. And when it turned, like it snapped its head to look at me, it had like its hand was like pinned up against its chest and the other one was down. So you could definitely tell that they were elongated. They were longer than they're supposed to be. And then that's when I saw its eyes and I was like, nope, I'm going in the house. So it's very terrifying. I mean, a lot of people that, you know, have encounters, they don't like talking about it. They don't like anyone to know because of fear of people thinking that they're crazy. So, I mean, I totally understand.
Well, not just that, but I mean, the just retelling it and reliving it and having to go through it. And then, I get people all the time that tell me that my show is scary, that they don't, you know, and I know that if you're into this kind of thing and you listen to all these different podcasts and you're used to it, you know that that's the deal. But I have a lot of people who listen to my show exclusively and they'll tell me, I like your show, but it's kind of scary, you know? So I try to bring a little bit of levity to it. But I mean, yeah, if you're sitting out there and you see something really large. Yeah,
I'm sitting outside right now, so I'm on edge and I'm extremely nervous. So,
well, just remember, if it kills you, you only die once.
Oh my gosh, Josh.
That's
not funny.
Oh God. Well, you know, you're not going to die. That's the thing. And you have to tell yourself that.
No, I've got my Bible, so
you got good. Your Bible
and a shotgun. And
I was going to say, there you go. And you're talking to me, and nothing's going to happen to you. Now, I can't guarantee you when you get off the phone. I'm just saying, with me,
stop you'll be fine. It.
I'm giving you a hard time. I'm just trying to.
I know.
To lighten the mood because I know that you're afraid, and you've expressed that to me. You know, when you and Luke were on the show, and you had talked, and you know, you both had this. I don't know what you would trepidation yeah. about talking to me at first, because I know that we went round and round, but you guys were going to talk, and there was this supposed researcher in that other group that had kind of made fun of your post about going to the trash or something. You were taking out the trash, and I was like, this guy.
Yeah, he did. It really really pissed me off, because it just when he did that, it made me literally think that everything he was talking about was horseshit. Excuse my language, but. Because he wouldn't make fun of it if he actually saw half the things that he said that he saw.
Yeah, he claimed to know that's everything. Not, yeah, I call him the dog man whisperer.
Yeah, know. That's not something to it's not something to joke about. It's not a feeling that I would wish on my worst enemy. I'm telling you, it when you're that terrified and you've seen it and you've been that terrified, you're not going to make fun of someone else that's feeling the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and so earlier, just to clarify, I wasn't trying to make funny. I just was trying to bring some levity to it, because I don't want you to.
No, you're fine. You're good. It's very welcomed. Like I said, you know, I am sitting on the back porch. I am a little nervous. I don't have a weird feeling or anything like that. I will tell you that I do feel like I'm being watched. I'm not going to lie about that.
It is, and it is the Mexican staring frog of southern Sri Lanka. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's a cryptid. In fact, my friend Ken Gerhard's looking for it. He's probably going to find it, and it's going to be identified. So don't worry.
That's okay. That's what's up. Yeah. Okay, Josh.
But seriously though, so are you? Can you talk about the third encounter?
Oh yeah, I can talk about it. If I just stop talking for a second, don't pay any mind to me. It's just. It's not hard to talk about. It's giving me goosebumps to even think about it. So this was like a week ago. About a week ago.
Wow. Literally like last week. Like a week
ago. Yeah, it was last week. And I had gotten off work.
Hold on one second. Let me ask you this, Brenna. I didn't mean to interrupt, but this is what prompted you to get in touch with me recently?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Just to clarify that.
That's why I reached out to you, and I was like, you know, I had to tell you this. I had to. So, you know, it was like last week, and I had gotten off work. I usually get off late. Sometimes I don't get off till 1 or 2 o'clock, but I had gotten off, excuse me, probably about 12:30, and I got out to the house, and I was by myself, and my boyfriend and his cousin, they were actually on their way back to the house. Well, when they got home, everything was normal. I talked to him for a little bit, and then he was like, hey, you know, I have to go up here and I've got to get this truck, and then we're going to come back to the house, like, which is at the front of the property. I was like, yeah, that's fine. So I'm sitting there on the front porch, you know, I just lit my cigarette, and I hear this weird noise. And I've heard it before, but not as consecutive. And I heard this weird noise off to my left, and it sounded like the noise, you know, that the lions make when they're trying to talk to each other, like the low.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I heard that, and I told myself it's probably just a big bullfrog. Literally, I told myself that, and I just went about looking on my phone. Well, it kept on, and then it got higher pitched, and then it stopped, and then it got higher pitched again, to the point where it sounded like someone was yelling, like someone yelled twice in the pasture. And I stopped and I looked, and I didn't see anything, but I looked and I was like, okay, I got this weird feeling. I said, you know, I'm gonna go in the house. So I went in the house, and you know, my boyfriend and his cousin had gotten back, and we were all watching TV and stuff. And then my boyfriend went to sleep, and about 3:45, I went outside to smoke a cigarette before I was going to bed with my boyfriend's cousin. And we were sitting there, and he was just talking, you know, he was yapping and yapping and yapping. And And he starts telling me the story about when he's at his house, which is like a couple miles down the road, maybe not even that, maybe a mile down the road. He starts telling me about one night he was sitting there and he heard this weird noise out by the road. And when he looked, it was the dead of night. He saw this big black looking wolf thing just walking nonchalantly down the middle of the road. And I was like, okay, so I'm trying to listen to him. But then I start to notice that the crickets stopped, like they stopped chirping. And then one by one, the frogs were stopping. And then when it finally clicked in my head, it was completely silent. And I told him, I said, shut up. I told him, I said, be quiet. And he was like, what? Am I talking too much? I said, no, just shut up. And he stopped talking. And you could hear something over to the left of us, like right across the fence in the pasture, something was moving around. So when I get nervous, I instinctively start talking myself. So, you know, I start asking him questions about, you know, what he was talking about and things like that. And then I heard this, and this, I don't like this. This is what freaks me out. And it's actually scaring me right now. I heard this popping noise. Like it, I've only heard it one time before in my entire life, and you never forget it. I'm sorry, but you don't. And I heard this popping noise, and all of a sudden I got goosebumps, and I felt like something was literally staring at me. So I'm sitting there talking to him, and I just turned to my left, and I look, and I had to strain my eyes. But when I saw what I saw, I turned to him, and I told him, I said, it's time for us to go in the house. And he was like, oh, am I talking too much? Are you tired? I said, just trust me, we need to go in the house. And it made the noise again. And that's when it caught his attention. And he turned and he looked. And he said that he's seen something like that before. But sorry, it's just, I'm a little nervous.
No, you're good. No, just relax.
He's seen something like that before, but never in that close proximity. And he asked me if I ever had, and I was like, yeah. And I told him, I was like, shut up, you know, just come in the house. So I put my cigarette out, you know, I just threw a whole cigarette away. I did not care at that point. And we went in the house. And after that, you could hear something walking around the house. You could hear something walking around my bedroom window, right outside my bedroom window. My dog, who normally, you know, she's very hyperactive. She was in her dog crate and she was laying there with her ears up, just looking around, you know, not making any noise or anything like that. And sorry, I'm looking around because I heard something, or making any noises like that. So I knew it, with, along with the feeling that I was having, that it was outside. I knew it was outside. So I already know you're going to ask me what it looked like. It wasn't black. It wasn't. It was a lighter shade, maybe a dark gray, kind of whitish, you know, like maybe it was older. I got the feeling that it was an older entity, that it wasn't what do they call them? I know, what is the word?
Elemental?
No, like an adolescent. It was not an adolescent.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You mean like an adult? Yeah. I thought you were talking about like an entity, ancient entity or something.
Oh no, I knew what it was, but no, it wasn't an adolescent. How big was it? It was pretty big. Like if I had to, I'm sitting here looking at my hands, looking at the fence. Let me see. So that'd be probably about 2 foot wide, like from side to side. And jeez, I don't know how long, but like, yeah, it had to have been 2 foot wide. And I just looked at it for a second, and I already knew what it was, and it kind of moved forward just a little bit, but not enough to where I could make anything out. And then I saw its eyes. I don't care who makes fun of me. I don't care who calls me a sissy. I will tell you, I literally peed in my pants. I did. I'm not going to lie. I did. And when I finally got him to shut up and go in the house, you know, I did not get rid of that overbearing feeling I didn't. It just, it would not go away. It's like it did not leave. It's like it stayed there outside until the next day. It was very terrifying. Like I'm looking around right now and on the tree line and stuff. And it was extremely terrifying. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps. Yeah, it was just, I'm not going to say, oh, it's just one of those things. No, no, no. So the next day, me and him, we were talking about it, and we told my boyfriend about it, and I told my boyfriend that I was going to call you and let you know, what had happened, and he said, okay, and that was that. We didn't talk about it anymore.
And then so what did you talk to him about it? I mean, what did he say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, me and my boyfriend, we have talked several times about several different things, and then we talked about this. He said that he told me, he said, I'm not going to say that I don't believe you. You know, obviously because I've seen shadows and things like that. And he, I'm just getting this weird feeling. He didn't like the way that it was making me uncomfortable, even just talking about it. So he just said that he would keep an eye out. And I told him, I was like, you know, even if you keep an eye out, there's nothing that you can do about it. I mean, no, you can't do anything about it besides either start praying or grab your Bible. So he was like, oh, you know, we have a shotgun. And I was like, you know, he's like, you know, we have a shotgun and I'll just take it outside with me. And I was like, no offense, even though I'm sitting right here with one, it's not going to do anything. It's not. So anyways, I got to.
So are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just, I'm just really nervous now. Like my hands are sweating really bad and I'm just trying to calm myself down. So I don't know. I don't like the feeling that I'm getting right now. And this is the only place that I get service on my phone. So.
Okay. Well,
like the feeling of being watched. I don't like that. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. So, okay. So this was just like a week ago and you saw it and he saw it too, or just you saw it?
No, we both did, but he didn't like at first, our cousin, he didn't want to acknowledge it because of, you know, being a Christian. And then I do believe he's Catholic. I think he's Catholic. I don't think it registered with him when I reference religion. I don't think it registered to him, because if it's like an entity that's an evil entity or something like that, you can always combat it with, you know, with Christ. And even with it being flesh and blood, you can still do the same thing. But I don't think that he's really wrapped his head around what he saw. Cause he told me, he's like, yeah, I saw that. And I, you know, thought that it was just a big old coyote. That's what he said. And that's no.
And you're positive that it wasn't a big old coyote.
Oh, no, no. It was not a big old coyote. I'm sorry, but it wasn't. There is no freaking coyote in the world that has a head that big.
How big? And you said the head. How big do you think the head was?
Oh, good God. Like I said, just the front of it looked to be about a foot and a half, 2 feet, like wide. It was massive. I'm trying to compare it to the one that I saw, the one that me and Luke had told you about that I had saw. It had stuck its head out of the bushes. And that was a big black one. It wasn't as, I wouldn't say it was as big as that one, but it was quite big. It was big. I'm trying to find something to compare it to. You know, a 5 gallon bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little bit bigger than that.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm looking at a 5 gallon bucket right now. So yeah, it was bigger than that. Just like the density of it was bigger than that. And the reason I say that I do believe that it stayed there till like the next day was because I would hear, like I said, we heard noises outside. I heard something outside my bedroom window. I heard something tapping on on one of the windows at the opposite end of the house, and it was very dense. It was, it had a lot of force behind it. You could tell. And it wasn't with a nail or, you know, a key or a fork or a spoon or anything like that. No, this thing had some density behind it. And I'm pretty sure that's what it was, you know, just trying to test out the waters and see how far it could get or how, you know, just whatever it could do. I don't know. I'm kind of rambling a little bit.
It black?
It was like a light shade of gray. And there was enough light for me to see that, to see the size of its head and to see at least the shade of what it was. It was not black. It was it was like a shade of gray. And then it was like gray and white, like tinged with white, you know, like it was older. And the feeling I got from it, it was not, like I said, it was not an adolescent. It was not a young adult. It was older.
So you think it was an old creature?
Yeah, I think it was.
Like it was black at one time, and I guess I should have phraised it that way. Do you think that at one time it was black? That the original fur was black.
Yeah, and then it just aged. That's what I saw.
And it was very large. And did you get any other feelings from it?
Just that. I was scared shitless.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to do a lot of editing. Thanks, Brenda.
I'm sorry. I was petrified. Yeah, is that better?
You were petrified because this petrified. I have to edit all these horrible curse words.
Oh my gosh. We're from the South, Josh. Yeah,
we're from Texas. But so, you know, and when I asked you if it was black, I already knew what you had said, but I guess I should have worded it was like, was it black, but I guess aging, as you said, but
it was, you could tell that it had aged and.
But the original fur was black.
Well, yeah, it had to have been.
So do you think that this could have been this was not the same creature you saw before, or maybe, and what I'm trying to get at is, like, okay, you know how you told me and the audience, you know, the PRT family, I guess, the encounters in episodes 22 and 23.
Yeah.
Do you think this could have been the same thing?
No. Well, the same thing. Yeah. The same kind of creature, but not the same creature, obviously.
Not like one that used that was from years ago.
No, I don't have, I've had several encounters. I don't believe I've ever been followed around. I don't believe anything's following me. It's just, I'm a little bit more sensitive and susceptible to things like that. You know, when it comes to entities, I always have been, but no, it wasn't it was the same kind, but not the exact same one.
Nothing on the spiritual side. Like, you know, like you said, in the house, there's been no activity, nothing like that. Nothing going on.
No, everything in the house is, you know, it's always calm. I never get any feelings like that from anywhere on the ranch. Besides, there are a few, like I said, well, there's three places that other family members have said that they feel like they're being watched when they go for walks and things like that. And they'll hear tree branches break. And I was told, this particular person had told me about it one time and said that this person heard same popping noise. And it was very early in the morning before the sun was up all the way. And it was still kind of, you know, dusky outside. So when she told me that before this encounter happened last week, when she had told me that, I automatically knew what it was when she said that. That's just, like I said, that's a sound you never forget. You don't.
Yeah. And the popping noise is very common amongst. I still don't know exactly what that is. I have theories, like they move up and down, their hips pop, you know, when they're moving.
I don't know, and I really don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
Because it freaks me out, like really, really, really freaks me out. That, I think, is, that noise is more terrifying than actually seeing it to me, if that makes any sense to you, because it's just,
you know,
when
what
you hear
is.
That noise and you can't see it, you know it's there, but you don't know where it is. You don't know. Yeah. You don't know what vicinity, what area it's in, or if it's, you know, right across the fence line from you. But yeah, it's, I don't like that feeling at all.
Well, and I don't want you to have that feeling. I wish I could do something to help you, but I'm not a therapist, and I can't, and I'm not a scientist. I can't tell you what this is. I mean, I appreciate you coming back.
Okay.
I appreciate you coming back and telling me the encounters. I just wish I could do, there's something that I could do, but I mean, you know, there's really nothing you can do. I mean, it's.
Well, yeah, no, there's not. I mean, when this kind of thing happens to some people, either you can process it eventually and you learn to accept it, or you don't and you just block it out altogether and don't even remember it, or you can let it
mess you up.
Yeah, basically let it destroy you. And I'm just the kind of person that I've come to accept. Yeah, that's what I saw. Yeah, those things do exist and they can just leave me alone and I will leave them alone. So.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, and you the one that you saw, the one that was black at one time, but you look like it looked like it aged. It was just doing its own thing, right? Like it wasn't really like,
just sitting there watching us. That's all it was doing, was sitting there watching us. And I did not, from that one, of course I got weird feelings. Like I got, you know, feelings of being watched, and then I got a feeling of curiosity. And then I did not get a feeling of aggression. Honestly, I didn't. That's what I first picked up on was like curiosity. It was just basically, it made me feel like it was wondering what we were doing. That's all.
Well, at least there's that. I mean, at least you got that. Yeah. That you don't have, it wasn't, you know, you didn't get the sense of evil and, you know, but you felt dread.
Yes, of course. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Like it wasn't a feeling of aggression, but it was a feeling of, you know, it was wondering what we were doing. It's kind of hard to explain while I'm sitting here. I will explain this to you. A few weeks ago, I started getting that weird feeling, you know, one night we were at the house and me and Nathan, it was really late and we were watching TV and we heard something outside and he got to where he would joke around and it was not a joke to me because it would really tick me off and he knew that it would get under my skin. But he'd be like, "Hey, is your friend here? Hey, is your don't do that. Like I don't like that." And he popped off and he said that. And I was like, you know, to be quite honest with you, yeah, I think it's outside. And he was like, "Well, how's it making you feel right now?" Because I got up and I was like pacing back and forth. Like I was really, really nervous and my anxiety was through the roof. And he was talking to me and he was asking me questions. And I told him, you know, the way it was making me feel and it was scaring me. And then he was like, "Well, I want to ask you this." And I was like, "Okay, you know, go ahead and ask me." And he was like, "Well, I'm kind of nervous about asking you this while you're feeling this way. And I don't want you to have like a panic attack." I was like, just freaking ask me, you know, cause I was trying to get my mind off of it. He said, "Do you think that it would ever be able to physically hurt someone?" And I told him, I said, "The feeling that I'm getting right now is just, it wants to scare you. It wants to intimidate you." And then all of a sudden it popped in my head, the word "yet." And I told him, I said, "It can't," like I'm telling you, Josh, like I'm talking to you right now, that word popped into my head as clearly as I'm talking to you right now. And I told him, I said, "It can't right now, but it can't yet." And he was like, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "That's exactly what I mean. It's just the way that I just said it. That's all that I got." And that really scared the bejesus out of me, like for real, because that was intentional. That was it letting me know that, hey, I know what I want to do basically. And I know eventually I'm going to, and that right there, I didn't have a panic attack, but I went in the bathroom and I locked the door. Like it was going to do any good, but I went in there, I took my Bible with me and I just locked myself in the bathroom. And he asked me if I was okay. I said, "Yeah, I'm okay." Even though he was locked on the other side of the door, mind you.
Do you think that it will at some point try to hurt you?
I don't know. I don't, I will tell you, it's the same thing that is watching the other individual. I will tell you that I know for a fact that it is, because that's when he asked me that is what popped into my head, was that individual, it was directed at that individual. And not just her, but, you know, at me as well. And it was not directed at all towards my boyfriend. And for some reason, I get this feeling that it doesn't want anything to do with him. And that's the scary thing. Like it won't.
It's scary because it wants you, not him, right? I mean,
I don't know what it wants. I'm just saying just the way that it makes me feel. And, you know, I asked him if he feels anything else besides sick to his stomach or anything. And he said, no, you know, I should get sick to my stomach sometimes. And every once in a while, he said that he feels like he's being watched, but it's not a big deal. It doesn't go into depth. It just goes away. It's there and then it goes away. And I'm just like, okay, you know, but the other individual and myself, it just, for some reason, I really felt like it was projected towards female,
yeah,
like towards a woman.
Yeah, I get it.
And yeah, that's what got me the most. I will tell you that I have not.
That's weird. This is weird. Cause right now, while we were just now talking, I wasn't feeling anything. I mean, I didn't feel any kind of sense of fear or danger or anything like that. But when you were talking, I got the impression, I don't know why, but in my mind, that it shows itself to you. And I think you have a past history. I just had this weird feeling. I don't know.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about because I honest to God, just got an extremely weird feeling myself and I don't like it.
Yeah. That's odd. Cause usually, you know, I'm able to process and talk about these things and it doesn't really bother me to talk about these things, but just now, just for some reason, I got a really weird, vibe.
I don't like the way that I'm feeling right now. It's just,
well, you know what? We can cut it short. I mean, you can, you know, if you feel like you need to go inside, I can totally understand that. And
well, I mean, I'm good. That's what I'm saying is, you know, I'm okay. I'm just.
I mean, don't feel like you have to be on the phone with me.
Oh no, I know. I'm gonna tell you right now. If I get scared enough, I will go in the house. I will leave the phone sitting on the porch.
Because I don't want you to feel like, you know, you're obligated to sit here and talk to me at your own peril. You know.
No, I'm not. Okay. Right. I'm fine. I'm okay. I just got a little nervous there for a second when you were talking about that, because honestly, that feeling, it just scares me because it makes me think that it wants someone that's like to be around someone that's vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that my boyfriend is in no way that kind of a person. Like, he does not get scared easily. He does not get intimidated easily. No, I'm not just saying that because we're dating. I'm saying that because that's the kind of person that he is. He's just a, you know, so I think it picks up on that. And, you know, then me and the other individual, obviously we're a lot smaller and things.
Weaker to you know, yeah, serious thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
I've often wondered how these things work. Like because a lot of times people say, well, they don't hurt people. Well, you don't know that. I mean,
exactly.
Those are the people that live to tell about it, that tell their story. But if, you know, I mean, look at the David Pilatus with the missing 411. People go missing all the time. You don't know what happened to these people. You don't know where they're at. I mean, you don't know. It could be anything. I mean, you know, so people, it's very irresponsible of a lot of these podcast hosts and so-called researchers, oh, they don't hurt people. They haven't hurt you yet, or they haven't hurt other people yet that you know of. I mean, or people aren't reporting it. But I guarantee
the word yet.
Yeah, or they've hurt people, we just don't know about it. I mean, those people didn't live to tell about it. You don't know the situation. I mean, I just know that from what people have told me, you know, there have been many, many people who've been chased and attacked and threatened by these things. But a lot of times when they don't do that, though, they still get this sense of dread, this overwhelming feeling of terror and evil. You know, and I think it's really silly when people try to tell us how they're just like animals or just creatures, a normal creature. Like, that's not a normal creature, okay? That's not an animal. It's not what they are, okay? But I don't advise anyone to go around living in fear. Just everywhere you walk, you know, there's one, you know, you're going to be attacked. I don't, you know, people have accused me of that, of fear mongering. I'm like, that's not fear mongering. That's trying to get people to stay healthy and alive.
Yeah.
You know, I just, and people, you know, they're going to go out and do what they're going to do. I can't control what everybody does, but I can tell you right now, living your life in fear isn't the answer, but also living carelessly and just thinking that this thing's not going to hurt you. If you run into one, oh, well, they don't ever hurt anybody, because there's certain podcasters who will sit there and tell people, and they're adamant that they never hurt anybody and that they don't do nothing wrong. And you're just like, God, these people are so just off base. And shame on them for when something does happen to somebody, you know, and then, of course, they won't take responsibility for it. But, So, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and let you get back inside so you can get out of there because I don't want you to be, you know, feeling like that. And thank you for talking to me. And I'm glad that we connected and we were able to talk about this. And thank you for giving me these stories for the show. You know, gosh, I wish there was something more I could do. I mean, you know.
No, it's okay. It's fine. I'm
just
good.
Just be on high alert. You know, that's all you can do.
I always am. With that being said, I'm just extremely uncomfortable. I'm going to grab my stuff and go inside, cause I just don't like the feeling that I'm getting from a certain area. So it's really freaking me out.
Yeah.
Like really, really bad. So,
I'll talk to you again, Brenda.
Yeah. Just give me a call later. I'm going to go in the house.
Okay. All right.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye. So that was Brenda Armstrong, formerly Brenda Tice, who was on our show before. And obviously she's not getting a real good feeling about where she's, you know, what's going on. So I guess from everybody here at Paranormal Roundtable, PRT, good night.